Let's dive in today. Last week we began a series titled On Mission. On Mission, a responsibility of ours, our job, our goal, our privilege as Christians is to be on mission, to completely follow Jesus. We find Jesus' commands to us throughout Scripture. A couple ones that we know really well, Matthew 28, we're commissioned. Jesus gives some of his last words and we are commissioned to go and make disciples. Acts 1:8, we are empowered to be his witnesses here on earth. In Luke 19:10, Jesus says that he has come to seek and to save the lost, those that don't know him. And our job is to imitate him, to follow him as our teacher, so we are to recognize those that need Jesus and to lead them to him. Last week we looked at Matthew 9:9-13, and we saw some passages as well of Jesus' example of recognizing people and those that need him. We talked about, are we willing, right? Are we even willing to see people as Jesus does? Are we willing to remove social barriers? We don't want to be known as a church or Christians that just hang out with our type of people. God made all people. So are we willing to just remove social barriers? Are we willing to walk with our eyes open? And what I mean by that is seeing people as Jesus does. When you're driving down the road, doesn't matter if you see a poor man or a rich man, right? I mean, we need to see them as Jesus does. And ask ourselves, do we really believe that all people need Jesus? And if we can say yes to that question, we follow it up with this. Does our life reflect that belief? Jessica has a cousin that is married to a gal, and she said she doesn't believe in Jesus, and she said that she appreciated Jessica and I sharing Jesus with her simply because she knows that we really believe it. If we really believe that people are going to spend eternity in hell away from Jesus Christ, why wouldn't we be sharing, right? Why wouldn't we be doing that? So does our life reflect that we know that we really believe that people need Jesus? And in closing last week, we addressed a step that many leave out. We're all busy doing religious stuff and just doing those things. And one of the things we leave out is prayer. Inviting God into our lives and actually, not into our heart for salvation, but just bringing Him in for what we do, our daily walk with Him. We asked the question, or we wrote down the question last week, God, who do I need to recognize? Who are you placing in my life that I need to talk to Jesus about? When we look at the New Testament church, Matthew on, or actually, you know, after Jesus has passed and risen, we see that there is a repetitive plea for believers to be in prayer. We're in prayer with to seek our Creator, the one that just made us, the one that's made all of this stuff, the sustainer, the healer, the Savior, and our Lord Jesus. As we recognize people that need Jesus, so as we have this frame of mind, as we're going out and we see people that need Jesus, and we become willing to do as He's commanded to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've got to bring God in on that journey, right? We've got to bring Him on that. This morning, I've titled the message On Mission, which is our series As Ambassadors. We briefly discussed ambassadors last week. We're familiar with ambassadors, right? Like to different countries. I want to take just a little look at that again. What does it mean to be ambassadors? In short, it means this, to be a representative or a spokesperson for a king, or in our case, a president in a foreign land. So when it comes to us as Christians, why does that fit us? So think about your life. If you're one that has given your life to Jesus, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're His children, amen? And we're also heirs of the kingdom of God. We belong to His kingdom. And we are to represent Jesus Christ in the mission field that we serve in. So right here in Tucson, at our jobs, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, even in our families, sometimes we don't share Jesus with our families, right? Because we're like, well, we don't talk about politics and religion, right? Right? And sometimes we do that. So are we serving Him, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be His spokesperson. According to Acts 17, God has you where you are on purpose and not by chance. I love that we serve a sovereign God. I mean, He's in control. Makes me feel better about it when I mess up. It's like He's got it. If you look up the role ambassador of people that are serving here in the United States, you see that they really have two main jobs. Their first one is to manage their embassy. Right, so if you have a guy from France or Uruguay or wherever they are, I don't want to say any more countries because I feel like I'll make up something. I don't know, but you know, if they're here, the people that are here that are not citizens of here, but they're citizens of those countries, they're to manage the embassy, but they're also to be responsible to serve the citizens that are from their own land. And their second job is this, is to represent their president or their king or their government here in the United States. So here's the thing about ambassadors. Here's the thing about ambassadors. They're not lone rangers, right? They're not doing whatever they please. They serve and represent their king or their president, their country. That's what their job to do is. So when we think about our life as a Christian, that's what we want to think about. We want to think about us representing Jesus. So it's important that we recognize something. That while we have our own desires, while we have our own likes and dislikes and agendas, the things that make us unique, ultimately we are here to represent Christ and His mission. Amen? Ultimately, that's what we're to do. And as His ambassadors, we are to seek Him. And we do that through the studying of the Word of God and through prayer. When we look at Matthew 9, Matthew 28, just different examples when Jesus is talking about the lost. Matthew 28 is known as the Great Commission. We see that Jesus, one of my favorite passages is through Matthew 29, and it talks about Jesus having compassion on those that didn't know Him. Right? Let's think about that. Do we have compassion on them? He saw their need. They needed Him. They needed a Savior. And He had compassion on them. Last week, we looked at what it meant to see Jesus, it's to see people as Jesus does. And that means we need to have compassion on them. To care about their eternity. I'm going to tell you, church, sometimes we don't do a good job with that. I'm not speaking of necessarily us here. I'm just talking about Christians. Man, we should be known as the most compassionate people. Amen? Think about that. Let's do good with that. The command is for us to go and make disciples, baptize them, to train them. And Jesus gives us this great word of encouragement at the end of this task. I really like in Matthew 28, Jesus talks about how He has the authority to give the command. He gives the command, and then He says this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. And I'm thankful for that, because as we're out here, man, we live in a world that doesn't look a whole lot like God, right? And what He wants. And we can be assured that we're not alone. He's with us, and we have that great promise. If you guys have your Bibles today, I'd like you to open up to Colossians 4, 2 through 6. If you don't have your Bible, you can slip your hand up. We've got a few in the back. I want to make sure that people have that. And feel free, if you don't own one, to take that home with you. Let's read this together. Colossians 4, starting in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let's pray. God, we love you and we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we have accessibility to it. We thank you that we can just come here. We can worship you. God, we can learn about you. We can grow together as a family. God, be with us today. Help us be attentive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul begins in verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. If we want to share the gospel with people, the good news of Jesus Christ, if we really want to share that with those around us, we can't miss the absolute necessity of prayer. Think about an ambassador that would go out into a different country without knowing what he's supposed to do. That would be dumb, right? Think about our military just jumping on the C-130s and just flying over somewhere. See, I got some planes, I know, right? And they just fly over there and they don't know what they're doing. They're like lone rangers on their own mission. See, now I'm in a military community, I have to act like I know what I'm talking about, right? That's okay. All right, so yeah, there you go. So to be, hear me out, church, to be effective ambassadors for Jesus Christ, let's be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Now, we need to be persistent in prayer in every part of our life. Amen? Right? The Bible says in Thessalonians that we're to pray without ceasing, to always be in conversation with God, always bring Him in to what we're doing. But in this case right here, let's be persistent in prayer when it comes to us being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The disciples, the people that were with Jesus, after Jesus had descended, Acts 1:14, after Jesus had risen from the dead. They were all with one mind and continually devoting themselves to what? To prayer. I'm just going to give you a hint. Always going to be prayer at the end of that, so you guys can like play with me. Okay, here we go. The new believers, new Christians in Acts 2:42, right? The new church were continually devoting themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to what? To prayer. Again, speaking to the disciples in Acts 6:4, they spoke of their needs to be devoted to what? You guys are good, man. Okay, Romans 12:9-12. Paul writes of Christian conduct. He speaks of having love. These are things that describe us, right, as Christians. Love, unity, diligence, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer. And now in our text, Paul begins by telling Christians to devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. Paul gives a little more instruction on the prayer. Here he says to pray while keeping alert. Keeping alert means this, to keep awake, to watch, to give strict attention to be cautious, to be active. Jesus used these words whenever he was talking to his disciples while he was in the garden before his arrest and then his crucifixion. And Jesus was telling them to be alert, to discern, to stay focused in your prayer, right? And I believe Paul is telling them to be alert, to give strict attention to what you're praying about. When we pray, when we're praying about something in general, I mean, there's times for us to just say, God, just be with me. Man, I gotta pray that almost every morning, right? We wake up and, you know, I started talking to Jessica this morning and she just kind of looked at me. I was like, I'm not even awake yet. I don't even know what I'm saying. God, be with me, right? Yeah. Right before she punched. No, she didn't punch me. But anyways, come on, guys. You guys can laugh. Okay, there we go. Why do I have to tell you all to laugh? You know it's okay to laugh, right? This is church. We can do that. You can laugh at me. Even if you're laughing at me, that's okay. So we're to give strict attention to what we're praying about. So let's not be vague. Let's not be unfocused. Let's be focused in our prayer life. Let's have a real conversation with God. Right? When I'm teaching Jax, my oldest, how to pray, we're just kind of adding a little bit more in there so that he knows who he's praying to. And a lot of times when he's praying, he'll look up like this and he'll say, I love you, Jesus. You know, but it's a real conversation with God. Let's do that. Let's have a real conversation with Him. And let's not just have this repetitive, unfocused, vague prayer. Verse 2 finishes with this. Pray and keep alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. When we pray, church, we should be thankful. Man, life gets hard, right? I mean, it does. It's tricky. It gets hard. But man, we can be thankful that He hears us, that He loves us, that He's empowered us, that He's with us. He answers us, all of those things as we live as His ambassadors. Verse 3-4 says this, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned. Verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul is saying, while you're praying, pray for us as well, right? Pray for me. Don't forget about us. And Paul was in prison, by the way, while he's writing this. He's in prison in Rome while he's writing this letter to this church for the sake of the gospel. And I love his heart and his motives here. He asks that these fellow Christians pray for what? Does he ask him to pray that he would be released from prison? No, he asks him to pray that God will open up a door to share the gospel. That's a crazy way of thinking. He's imprisoned because of this gospel. And now he's asking for prayer to pray, all right, that he'd have opportunities to share. That's pretty awesome, right? I mean, just think about how he's in tune with God. He's saying, I'm in prison. This is my environment right now. This is my surrounding. This is where God has me. So pray that God would open a door. When we look at this passage, we get this idea that Paul is looking, right? We talked last week about seeking and recognizing those that need Jesus. And he's doing that. He's staying attentive to that. Lord, help me, give me this door. Help me recognize that. And Paul, all while he's in prison. And we are to do that while we're right here in Tucson. Right? To pray for those opportunities. In fact, it's okay to ask people to help you pray for those opportunities. Hey, I've got family in Missouri. Pray that we would have opportunities, right? As we seek to recognize the lost, let us pray for doors to be open. Church, that means to pray for God-given opportunities. both for ourselves and for others. Paul, he's in prison. He's asking for those opportunities. Let me throw this out there. There are missionaries. By the way, we're all missionaries, okay, in the mission that we are at, where we are at right now. But there are people that have given up their lives, their comfort to go to different places. Missionaries that we support. And they ask us, they say, hey, will you guys pray that we would have opportunities, that God would open a door for us to share the gospel? Our church has prayer cards that we have sent out. And on those cards, we ask that people will pray that we're able to share the gospel, to make disciples, to share Jesus with people. There's an old story of a guy who prayed this prayer every morning. He prayed this particular prayer. He said, Lord, if you want me to witness to someone today, please give me a sign to show me who it is. And one day he found himself on a bus. He's sitting by himself with this big, burly man sat right next to him. The bus was nearly empty, but this big dude just sat down right next to the guy that had prayed this prayer. And this Christian, he's anxious. He's anxiously waiting for the stop so that he could get off. Right? He's ready to get off the bus. But before really he could even get too nervous about it, this man that's sitting next to him, this big guy, bust into tears. And he just begins to weep. And he cries out with a loud voice. He says, I need to be saved. I need Jesus. I'm a lost sinner. I need the Lord. Won't somebody tell me how to be saved? And he turned to this Christian man next to him and he says this, can you show me, sir, how to be saved? And this Christian seemed a little confused. Instead of responding, he immediately bows his head and he goes, Lord, is this the sign? Sometimes we pray for opportunities and then we miss it. I wish they were all this obvious, right? I really do wish they were all this obvious. We talked about last week about like being like the spiritual Santa Claus where somebody's just placed on our lap and saying, please introduce me to Jesus, right? It doesn't always happen like that. God can do that. God has done that. But we need to be, when we pray for these opportunities, when we're seeking people, we need to not miss it. And I believe, church, that if we ask the Lord in all honesty with the right heart, that He would provide an open door. And then we should believe that He will do so. I believe that, church. I'm convicted of that God will give us that opportunity if we have the right heart when we're asking Him. Does that make sense? Are you with me? You guys tracking with me today? If we say, God, I really want to have an opportunity to share Jesus with somebody, I believe He's going to do that. I believe He'll give us that opportunity to tell them of the love of Jesus and salvation, the gospel is available. Just to tell them, some people just need to hear that Jesus loves them, right? I don't know if you guys, I posted something on Twitter yesterday. Man, I just need to know that God loved me. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just forget about that. Sometimes people just need to hear that. And think about this, if God is the one providing opportunities, you checked in with, you know, your commander-in-chief, right, with Jesus, and He gives you this opportunity. He's the one that opens the door. We can take that opportunity with the confidence knowing that God is leading. Amen? I mean, think about that. Having the confidence that we're in His will, that He's guiding us, that He's going to give us the words to say. Notice in verse 4, Paul, his request doesn't end there. He asks them to pray for these God-given opportunities, for these doors to be open, but also asks that he may make it clear in the way he ought to speak. He wants to present the good news of Jesus Christ in such a way that it's clear. I don't know if you guys remember me sharing the first opportunity that I had to share Jesus with somebody. I did it with a cap gun with a woman, a girl that lived across the street, and I pointed the gun at her and said, man, if you died today, where would you go? Right? And she cried and I got in trouble. Okay? So don't do that. It can make it confusing for them. All right? But do we want to present it in a way that can be understood? Am I the only one that's ever done that? Come on, somebody else has pointed a fake gun at somebody and told them, except, okay. All right. So I believe that, church, that we, as we are presenting the gospel, we need to pray for clarity. God, give us these opportunities, but also help present your message in a way that makes sense. My neighbor didn't really get it, okay, when I pointed this fake gun at her, right? I have to make sure I say fake because it's being recorded. I didn't really point a real gun at somebody. But we want them to get it. We want them to get it. And I believe that both of these things are needed when we're going to share the gospel, the opportunities and the clarity. What good is the open door, this opportunity, if no one has the courage or the clarity to go through it and speak, right? And then what good is the clarity, what good is a clear message if all the doors are slammed shut on the people who need the word? Church, I'm convicted of this. We must be a praying church. I'd love to hear everybody say amen on that one. We must be a praying church. Man, we need to pray corporately, together, and we need to pray individually. Praying that we're in His will, that we're doing what God has called us to do. Praying for His leading and His direction. Church, I'm just saying, He deserves it. He deserves us to talk to Him. And church, please join me or continue to be in persistent prayer, praying that God, as our church, that He would give us opportunities to share the gospel. And that we would be after Him and after His Word to continue to grow, that we would continue to be equipped to do what God has called us to do. I just pray that we'd be a praying church. And guys, I want to stop, and I want us to spend some time with Jesus. Right now. Let's spend some time with Jesus. Let's just say, God, wherever I'm at right now, help me be receptive to whatever else is coming out of the Word of God. Help me just pray, God, that my heart would be in tune with You. Let's pray. Just pray silently and then I'll close this. God, as we just continue to hear Your Word today, and then we'll have our time of offering, and we'll sing again, God, and we'll just go into a time of fellowship, and then we go out into the world. God, help us take what we're learning from You today, from the Word of God, and use it. Knowledge is worthless if it's not used. So God, help us use what You are teaching us today. Give us opportunities, Father, as a church and as individuals. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. In verse 5, Paul instructs the church, he instructs Christians to conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. So let's understand what this means a little bit here. The phrase conduct yourselves comes from a Greek word which means to walk or to make one's way. And the word outsider simply means, it speaks of those that are not Christians, those are not believers. So this is not saying that, outsiders saying that you're not as good at us. As us, right? It's not saying that at all. It's not saying that we are any better or any worse. It's just saying, simply saying that those that have not accepted Jesus as their Savior. So what does that mean? To walk in wisdom or with wisdom towards those that do not know Jesus. I'm not just saying know of Jesus or that you believe that He existed, but having a personal relationship with Him. Wisdom, in short, is this, church. It's the proper use of knowledge for the right outcome. Too many times, myself included, man, we hear a message, we read the Bible, and then we go and live the way that we did before. Every time we open the Word of God, every time we pray, our life should be changed. We're encountering the Almighty God. And you can know lots of things. You can have a PhD and be very unwise. Having knowledge and using knowledge for the right reasons are very different. So we're to take what we know and make use of a church. I want to encourage us to walk in wisdom. It can be easy to let our guard down, to act in such a way that isn't pleasing to God when we're hanging out with people that don't know Jesus because they won't judge us. They're not held to the same standards. And that's one other thing I want to talk about. Sometimes we get furious with the world because they don't act like Christians. If they're not Christians, how do we expect them to act like that? Amen? But we also need to make sure that we're walking in wisdom in such a way that when we are around unbelievers, whether it's in school, it's in the military, whether it's at our job, whether it's wherever it is, our neighbors, our family, that we still represent Christ. Amen, church? We need to represent Christ. We need to walk in wisdom. And don't hear me suggest the impossible. We're not perfect. Right? We're not perfect when we walk through these doors at church. We're not perfect in our homes and around our family, around other Christians and around those that are not Christians. But there's a difference of being perfect and walking in wisdom. Right? So we need to walk in wisdom. The idea here is that we live for Christ and apply His biblical truth at all times. The emphasis right here is that we do that in the company of unbelievers. There's enough ammo out there by the world to say, wait a minute. Gandhi was famous for saying, man, I love your Christ, but I hate your Christians. Or I don't dislike your Christians or something to that sort, right? We need to look like Christ. I like how James 1:22 says this, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. When it comes to the unchurched, when it comes to people that are lost without Jesus, and what I mean by lost is the Bible's very clear on this one, and I'm not going to back off of this one just because it's an unpopular message. People that don't know Jesus and have a relationship with Him will spend eternity in hell. The Bible's very clear about that. We need to become doers of the Word and what Jesus has told us to do. We've got to be doers. Live what we know to be biblically true. We don't just sit in our churches and our seminaries and our homes and study the Bible and then go act and don't do anything about it. John MacArthur, an author, says this well, believers are called to so live that they establish the credibility of the Christian faith and that they make the most of every evangelistic opportunity. Evangelistic, an opportunity to share Jesus. Verse 5 says this, where it leads right into this, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. All right, so walk in wisdom with those that don't know Jesus, making the most of the opportunity. Making the most, it carries a deeper definition. The phrase comes from a Greek word meaning to buy up, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity, to snatch it up, right? And realize the cost involved. You've got an opportunity there, right? And you probably, hopefully, been praying about that. And you've got that opportunity, so you just need to snatch it up. As we pray for God to lead us and to provide opportunities to share His love and His grace with them, we are to be walking in wisdom, living out the knowledge we know to be true from Scripture. Church, just want to encourage us to have a sense of urgency with these opportunities. Too many times we see these opportunities and we're like the dude on the bus. It's like, hang on a second, man. I know you're asking for Jesus, but I need to, you know, take some time. And you've already prayed about that, right? Man, we need to have that sense of urgency. If God has given you that opportunity, nothing else matters. You have somebody's eternal life that you're talking about. Does that make sense? Okay. We need to have that sense of urgency with God's wisdom, the wisdom of Jesus, to start. You start to, when we accept Christ, we can gain some of His wisdom, and we start to think as He thinks, right? You learn how He would respond to opportunities placed in front of Him, and you begin to live it out. Jesus, throughout Scripture, we see that He had a sense of urgency. Man, when it came to lost people, Jesus had a sense of urgency. I think about our scripture last week with Matthew, the tax collector. Man, he is a tax collector. He's hated by people, right? He has looked down on him like a traitor. And Jesus looks at him and He's like, I see a Matthew that I love and that needs a Savior. And He went. He didn't care about the religious leaders that were following Him. He didn't care about the crowd that were around or His disciples that might question Him. Should we do this, right? No, He went after it. And He had that sense of urgency. Once we recognize the needs or a person that needs Jesus in their life, and we engage the Lord, right? We involve Him in that, and then we seize that opportunity to share the news and to share His love with them. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. We need to get this right, church, okay? This is something we need to get right. When you're speaking, we are to do so with truth and grace always. We are to speak graciously and truthfully. Paul writes in Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Anybody ever been told something that was really true, but you couldn't receive it because of the way they told you? Yeah? Right? Yeah. I mean, we've probably done it to people too, right? We've probably done that. Our words, church, should be filled not with just with truth, but also with grace. Because the truth doesn't matter if we can't present it in grace. It will not be received. They should be purposeful. Our words should be purposeful, gentle, right? Some of us, sometimes me, I mean, we need to work on those things. Gentle, kind, fitting to that situation, edifying, loving, thoughtful. But in doing so, they should also be truthful. Our word, our world, our culture right now makes it seem like we can't speak biblical truth and still love somebody. Bull, right? Man, we are called to speak truth to people. but to do so, not like the Westboro Baptist fake people that stand up with signs and say, God hates you and all this nasty junk that is very non-Christian and very non-Jesus. We're to present a message with love and with grace, but still with truthfulness. Paul uses salt here while describing our words. Salt was and is still used to preserve food, to keep food unchanged, right? To keep it from going bad. When we think about this passage, think about this. Wisdom and grace exhibited in speech. We're to speak biblical truth and godly wisdom into lives, but to do so with gentleness and love, with grace. Jesus gives examples of doing this, of truth and grace. I think about the woman that was caught in adultery. I mean, she is caught. Think about embarrassment, right? A humbling experience. She is caught in the act of adultery. There's some argument that she's probably set up and how all that doesn't matter. But we have that example right there. And Jesus has that experience with the people. It's like, wait a minute, how can you condemn her with sin in your life, right? I mean, just to, in short. And Jesus says to her, you know, neither do I condemn you. There's the grace part. But go and sin no more. I mean, we can be loving and graceful to people and still speak truth. We begin our series speaking about when we began our series speaking about our goals, our commitments to share the gospel, Jesus makes it absolutely clear that we are to be obedient and to be witnesses wherever He has us, right? Whether He has us in our job, whether we're in our homes, or whether we're in prison. We're to be obedient. We're to be His witnesses. And I got to tell you, I am encouraged by some of the prayer requests that I've been able to pray over with you guys, where you're saying, man, I am praying for this guy that I work with. I'm sharing Jesus with him. Pray that he would be open to the gospel. You guys know who you are, and I'm grateful for that. I mean, you guys are his ambassadors. We all need to be doing that, right? We need to be ambassadors to share the gospel. We began by seeking the examples of Christ and asking ourselves some honest questions, right? Going back, are we willing to share? That's a heart question. Are we even willing to share? Or do we allow these worldly standards and social barriers to get in our way? Do we see people around us as Jesus sees them, with compassion? Right from last week. And we now have stepped into our line of duty as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are to carry whose message? Jesus' message, right? Not our message, His message. And to be His spokesman. To carry His message and to be His spokesman, we should know what the Word of God says. Amen? He's called us to be witnesses to His truth, to make disciples, to teach them of His commands, of His truth. So let's be engaged with our commander-in-chief and our mission, right? Let's be engaged with Jesus. Church, don't neglect your prayer life. Man, don't neglect your prayer life. We are to involve Him. We are to involve God in His work. It's His work, man, right? I mean, we got to involve Him. We weren't meant to do this alone. Ask God for those opportunities to share His gospel. And I just want to remind you, if you know Jesus today, it's the same gospel that saved you. I get on Facebook and I see this man's face. And every single time I thank God for him because he shared, my parents included, but this man is the one that led me to the Lord. And I thank God that he was obedient. He shared Jesus with me. And we need to have that compassion for people. The last couple weeks, we've just talked about the heart of the matter, right? And then who gives us this goal and this mission. And I look forward to next week as we look to the Word of God and examples of Jesus and actually invite people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. It can be scary, right? It really can. It's about the most personal thing that you could ever do with somebody. You're getting up. I talked with high school students, and they said, Jeff, we don't say this anymore, but I'm going to say it anyway. We get up in their grill about it, right? We talk to them about Jesus. You can make fun of me. I know it's old. It's okay. Right? We actually invite people to have a new life in Christ. And I want to encourage you guys, if you can help it, don't miss next week. Don't miss next week. As we continue to be equipped to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the last thing today, church, is this. Let's continue or begin to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ wherever He sends us. We represent Jesus. What an awesome opportunity. Let's love people and share Jesus with them. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You so much that You are a God that has saved us and that loves us. God, I pray today, if there's somebody here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, they might not even know what that means. What does that mean? What does it mean to ask Jesus in my heart, or to have Jesus as my Savior, or to be a Christian, or to be a believer? What does it actually mean? God, help them know, Lord, that it means that You become Lord of their life, that they have sin in their life. We are all sinners. And the things that make Christians sinners is just that we have accepted the salvation that Jesus has provided. We are no better than anybody else. We are just saved by grace. And I pray, God, if there's somebody here today, God, just be persistent on their heart. Help them know You. Help them come and speak to somebody today and say, I'm hurting. I'm lost. There's something missing in my life. Tell me about this Jesus that saved you. Guys, pray, Lord, that we would be people that just have a prayer and a heart for the lost and for You, God. Just help us be willing participants and ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, if you guys could keep your eyes closed just for a second. If there's somebody that says, Jeff, I don't know Jesus. I would love to know more about Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and do anything embarrassing. Just if you want to slip your hand up, or just fill it out on the card. And when the offering plate comes around, you can slip that in the offering plate. And I would just encourage everybody to raise their hand on this next one. Help me be a part individually and as a church corporately, where we are willing and we are part of God's calling to share Jesus with other people. Who would raise their hand and say, I want to do that? Amen. Amen. God, we love You so much. We thank You for being with us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.